Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is of Zora, Daf Chof Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara we will be beginning with appears at the very top of Daf Chof Gimel. Immediately, one encounters one of our series markings, a geometric form. We have a bow tie, and to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, you'll notice that there is a Roman numeral number 2 also in a bow tie. This is because the series began on the previous omid. The sugya that we are involved with is designed to resolve a contradiction between the Mishnah, the opening Mishnah of this parak, in which it was suggested that one is not allowed to entrust an animal to a idol worshipping inn for it to be guarded. In other words, one is not allowed to entrust his animal to the goy because there is a fear of his conducting immoral relations with the animal. And if I entrust it to him, I will be over on lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. I'll be putting a stumbling block in front of the blind, so to speak, because a Gentile is commanded not to engage in that form of immorality. On the other hand, we have a Tanaic source that appears at the top of Chof Beis Amud Beis that says one is allowed to purchase from the Gentiles animals for the purposes of sacrifices. In other words, a person can buy an animal, a korban, from a goy and offer it as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. And in order to be fit as a korban, the animal has to meet high standards, including which is its moral background. Therefore, if I'm able to buy the animal from the goy and offer it as a sacrifice, that is indicative of the fact that I'm not worried that it was subjected to immorality. The first resolution was presented in the name of Rav on Chof Beis Amud Beis. At this point, we encounter Ravina, and we continue with the Gemara inside. Ravina Omar, Lo Kashya, Ha Lechatchila, Ha Di Eved. The Mishnah represents a Lechatchila approach. The Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, one should not entrust his animal to a Gentile because of this fear of it being used for immorality. However, if one already entrusted his animal to the Gentile, and now it becomes a question of, can I use the animal that I that was returned to me from the Gentile, or if someone else came and bought that animal that had been entrusted, he is allowed to use it as a korban. The Rabbeinu Hananel, on the third line of his commentary, says, "Ha de'i avad veheemid." If someone went ahead and did entrust his animal, loikhin, it can be taken or purchased for a korban. V'ein chushishin dilma rova. And post facto, we don't worry about that. Maybe it was misused in an immoral way. The Gemara goes on, and before we go too much further, we should note we have one of our other markings, one of the length markers. To the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, you see from the top line a tuff that's written in and encircled with a vertical dashed line. The tuff represents a tshuva or teretz, and it's a long answer, as we call it, a long answer marking, and it lasts. All the lines of the Gemara that are found opposite that long marking form the long answer. So the Gemara continues and says, "Uminot temra deshaini bein lechatchila bein l'diavid." Where do we have a basis of saying that we make a distinction between the l'chadchila, the best way to do things at the outset, and post facto, if something was already done. This none. So we have, we're now going to present two sources, present them as seemingly contradictory, and the only way to resolve them, the feeling will be, is to point out that there's a difference between the l'chadchila and the bedieved. So the first source says, "Lo tisyachid isho imohem." This is a quote from our Mishnah that says a woman should not be alone in the company of a Gentile. "Mitnei shechashudin al haroyos." They are suspect of practicing immorality. V'raminu ha'isha, v'raminu, we raise a contradiction. Ha'isha shenech b'sha b'day ovdei kechavim, a woman who was taken captive by Gentiles, by idol worshippers, al yidei mamon muteres labayla. If she was captured by them, or taken hold by them, because she owed them money, eventually, when she's returned, she's allowed to be with her husband. Al yidei nefashos asura labayla. If she was captured by the idol worshippers because she was condemned to death, because she was guilty of some type of capital offense, then she is not allowed to be with her husband anymore, because the suspicion is that once the woman was taken captive under those circumstances, she would have yielded willingly to her captors. However, we want to focus right now on the case of Muteres Labayla. We have a woman that was already taken captive by the idol worshippers, and the fact that she was in their possession, so to speak, doesn't render her forbidden to her husband. It's Muteres Labayla. That shows us that she was, that we don't automatically assume immorality. Ella, so how do you resolve this? The case just before said the woman should not be alone with them because they're suspect of arayas. The second source indicates that by the fact that she is allowed to go back with her husband, that means that she was not involved with another man, and this, in this case, she was not involved with the idol worshippers, and hence she's allowed to be with her husband. The given is that when a woman, when a married woman is experiences intimacy with another man, that married woman cannot go back to her husband. We are, of course, presenting things in a very general fashion. There are machlokis rishonim concerning some of the details. But for our purposes, we want to show what appears to be a contradiction. The first source saying, implying that they are a suspect, and the second source indicating by the fact that she can go back to her husband that they're not suspect. Elolav shma mina. Rather, we must conclude shanilon bein lechatchila l'diavad, that there's a difference between doing something initially. In other words, a woman who has to make a decision, should she go to the to be in private with the Gentile or not? So we say she should not go. However, if she happened to have been in their company, then that doesn't render her unfit to go back to her husband. The Gemara, at this point, you'll notice at the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, there's a dalet indicating a dechia. This is a long marking. It's a rejection. The Gemara feels that you cannot, point of making a distinction between l'chadchila and b'dieved, and basing yourself on the case of the woman, the case of the woman being taken captive, cannot serve as a sufficient precedent or basis for a general chiluk, a general distinction that we want to extend to animals as well, in making a distinction between l'chadchila and b'dieved. And the Gemara goes on now with its rejection. Mimai, who says that in general you can make such a chiluk, a distinction between the chadchila b'dieved, based on what we just learned? Dilma li'olam emaloch, maybe I will tell you in general afilu d'eved namilo, that even post facto it will be forbidden. So if we go back to the case of the animal, if an animal had been entrusted to the goy, then I'm not allowed to use it anymore as a korban. the hacha, as far as the case of the woman is concerned, hainu taimo, the reason she is allowed to be with her husband is because the misyore, the Gentile who took her captive, is afraid mishum hefsid mamono. He feels that if he violates her, if he behaves with her immorally, then he will never see his money. Don't forget, she was taken by the goy because she was chayev tim mamon. But and the goy, the Gentile, is calculating that if I go too far with her, so to speak, if I force her into intimacy, then she'll never pay me. I'll never see my money again. So there's a built-in deterrent in that case. Therefore, we can say that she's muteres levayla. Teda dekotoni seifa, and I'll prove the point, says the Gemara, that if you look at the end clause of that source, it said al yideinu fashos asura levayla. If she was captured because she was chayav, she was condemned to die, where there is no money issue, where there is no incentive of the goy to leave her alone because he has something to gain. Rather, it's a situation with it's a seemingly hopeless situation where she's condemned to die. She is, in fact, also to her husband. So, in general, if the goy, if the Gentile doesn't have anything to gain, he will, under all circumstances, violate her. And therefore, we don't see there an automatic distinction between lechatchila and bedieved. The su lo midi. And there's nothing more to ask or to say about this particular thing. And as Rashi says, the only reason in the case of her being taken captive over money matters that she is in mutter is because of his chashash, his fear of losing his money. But outside of that, she would have been classified as forbidden to her husband. As a result of this, the answer that Ravino gave in order to resolve the two sources really falls on hard times. He tried to say that the Mishnah that says Eim Amidim is a lechatchila, and the source that says you can buy from them animals is bidyevid, if it was already entrusted, that is his answer, but he doesn't have a basis for making that distinction. Continuing in the Gemara, we now encounter resolution number 3. It may be pointed out that there in fact is a fourth resolution to these two sources, but that's found on Daf Chof Dalid Amid Beis, under the name Rabbi Yochanan. In the meantime, the third resolution is offered by Rabbi Pedos. Rabbi Pedos Omar, Lo Kashya. There's no contradiction between the two sources. Ha Rabbi Eliezer, Ha Rabbanan. It's a Machlokas Tanoim. One is according to Rabbi Eliezer, and one is according to the Rabbanan. Disnan Gabi Poras Chatos. We have a source in the context of the Pora Aduma. This is an animal that is known in English as the red heifer. It's used for its ashes. In other words, it's burnt, it's slaughtered, and it's burnt, and its ashes are used for taharos, for purifying someone who is tome meis. So it says regarding that particular animal, the poras chatos, that's the term with which we refer to that particular animal. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Eino Nikris Min Ho'ev Dikachovim. One is not allowed to purchase it from idol worshippers. Vechachomim Matirin. And they allow. My love, the Ho Komiflegi. What must be the point of difference? The Rebbe Lezer Sovar Chayshino Lerevio, Rebbe Lezer who restricts the purchase from the Gentiles because he is suspect of them having behaved immorally with it. V'rabbonan Savri Lo Chayshino Lerevio, that one does not have to take that into consideration. And with that, we could then see the two sources. The Mishnah that says, don't entrust your animal to the Gentiles, because of the Chashash Reviyah, that would be according to Rabbi Eliezer. The source at the top of Chof Beis and Beis that says one can buy animals from them for the purposes of sacrifice, that would be according to the Rabbanan, that are not Choshesh for Reviyah. Before we go any further in the Gemara, if one just skims down with his eye, you will notice the appearance of triangles that are that appear in opposite directions as you go down, flip flopping over and over. The comment on the side, our mivneh, we have a structural note that accompanies this. You'll notice a triangle with its point facing up, and we indicate that's kerevi pedos. That will be in accordance with Rebbe Pedos's approach. And with the triangle flipping over, there will be a challenge that namely the low kerevi pedos. When we offer an alternative to Rebbe Pedos's approach, we will have to give another explanation for Rebbe Eliezer, because up till this point in the Gemara, at least, Rebbe Pedos is explaining the prohibition of entrusting based on Rebbe Eliezer, who appeared in the case of the Poras Chatos, of the Porah Duma, who said also one is not allowed to buy the animal from the Goyim. If we change our Hesber, we're going to have to give a new explanation for Rebbe Eliezer. The markings will help as we go along in the Sukkia. You'll notice a double underline, and that's going to feature the statement V'hainu Taimod Rebbe Eliezer, the new explanation of why Rebbe Eliezer says that a Pora cannot be purchased, the Pora Duma cannot be purchased from the Akum, from the idol worshippers. We now turn back to the Gemara, and we continue with an inverted triangle. We also have a long marking accompanying this. To the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, we have the word Dilma written in with a vertical dashed line. All of these lines are dedicated to this particular rejection. Dilma, the Gemara says, may be to Kuli Alma lo chayshinan l'raviyah, that all authorities, including Rebbe Eliezer, are not choshesh for immorality. And if that be the case, if you're not choshesh, then the question is, what is Rebbe Eliezer? Why does Rebbe Eliezer restrict the purchase of the Por Aduma from the Goyim? V'hocha hainu taimo to Rebbe Eliezer. And here, in the case of the Por Aduma, is the reason Rebbe Eliezer asers, he restricts purchase from the Goyim. Ki Rav Yudah Marav, based on Rav Yudah Marav's teaching, Diyam Rav Yudah Marav, Rav Yudah Marav has said, there's 2 points here. Aleph, hiniach olehen uda shel sakin posla. If a person places a wad of sacks, empty sacks that are tied together, and he places them, simply rests them on the back of a pora aduma, he renders the pora aduma unfit. The Rashi explains, offers the source why pasul, because the pasuk says asher lo olo oleha, that nothing was allowed to have gone on its back. The second point is not relevant to our sugya, but it talks about the eglo arufa. The eglo arufa is an animal used in a ceremony when a murder victim is found between two cities. The city closest to the murder victim brings this particular animal, a calf, and breaks its neck. It is rendered unfit for the ceremony of Eglo Arufo if it drew something, if it like a cart or something else. Ube Eglo ad shetim shoch ba. The Eglo is not rendered unfit until it draws something. In other words, placing something on its back does not render it unfit, but it has to do some drawing action. The pasuk says, "Asher lo moshcha ba'oil," and that's found in the Rashi. So, as far as the Por Adum is concerned, we continue in the Gemara. Mor sovar chayshinan, Rabbi Eliezer, who does not allow the purchase of a Por Aduma from Goyim, is because we suspect that maybe he used it for as a shelf. In other words, he placed something on its back, and that would render it unfit. Umor sovar the chachamim, who disagree with Rebbe Eliezer, say, lo chayshinan, I'm not choshish for that. I'm not worried about that. So, the Gemara now turns around and says something in favor of Rabbi Pedas, and says that the distinction that was just made is unlikely. Lo sakadaitach. One should not think that the reason for Rabbi Eliezer's restriction regarding the Paraduma is because of the Uda Shel Sakin. Mishum nicha purta lo mafse tuva. We have to preface this by just saying that a Paraduma is a very expensive type of creature. That anyone who owns a paraduma and is eventually it's and it becomes needed will stand to gain a lot of money. So the Gemara just said that because of mishum nicha purta, because of a little convenience, namely to have a place to put the uda shel sakin, that its back is available for me to rest this package of sacks on. The owner wouldn't allow such a thing to happen. Lo mafsid tuva. He would not want to lose a lot of money. So the question then is that what would the reason be then for Rabbi Eliezer to say that one should not buy the poras chatas from them? Well, it's because of the chashash of immorality. But the Gemara asks, well, hochinami, the Gemara asks, if you want to set up the, if you want to explain the iser of purchasing poraduma lefi Rabbi Eliezer because of the chashash of immorality, like Rabbi Pedas wanted to say, then why not say the same thing that was just said, lemo mishum hanoa purta lo mafsituva? Because of a little bit of self-gratification, a person wouldn't want to lose all of the money he could make from it. So it's unlikely to suggest like Rabbi Eliezer on the same grounds. So the Gemara says, not so. Hasam yitzro tokfo. There's a difference between the benefit one receives from using it as a shelf and the benefit, the physical pleasure that one receives from having relations with it. And that's what the Gemara means by hasam yitzro tokfo. His evil inclination got the better of him. And that even though there is this potential of losing a lot of money, he would yield to his yetzahara for that moment of pleasure. So, as you can see with the triangle positioned up, we're still in a mode supporting Rabbi Pedas, that Rabbi Eliezer's restriction of purchasing Paraduma from the Goyim is because of immorality. And if you'll ask, well, isn't he going to lose a lot of money? Well, maybe, but Yitzro Tokfo. The Gemara now comes back. Vidilma, another rejection. Vidilma, de kule alma, lo chayshina l'ravia. This also, you'll notice, takes a few lines to develop. Hence, we once again use a long marking. The suggestion right now is maybe de kulei alma lo chayshin l'ravia. Everyone would agree that we're not choshesh for ravia, including Rabbi Eliezer. So, if that be the case, so we have to offer a new explanation for Rabbi Eliezer. And once again, you see with our double underline, we feature this effort. V'hocha haynu taim de Rabbi Eliezer. The reason Rabbi Eliezer says you cannot buy the Paraduma from the Goyim is Kidatoni Shilo, based on Shilo's teaching. The Toni Shilo, the Shilo presents a Tanaic source. My time of the Rabbi Eliezer. Why does Rabbi Eliezer forbid the purchase of a Paraduma from a Goy? Because the Pasuk says, Daber el Bnei Yisrael v'yikru eilecha. That's the Pasuk. Bnei Yisrael yakichu. Yakichu, notice we're changing the reading a little bit, but it means they shall sell it to you. They shall, in other words, they shall cause you to buy it. Jews must be the ones to cause you to buy. In other words, they are the sellers. And idol worshippers are not allowed to be the ones to sell it. So based on Exeris HaKosa, based on what the Pasuk dictates, Rabbi Eliezer feels that a Gentile cannot be the one to have sold the Paraduma. But not because of a chashash of immorality. At this point, the last triangle we saw was with the point facing down, indicating unlike Rabbi Pedas's approach. Once again, the triangle flips over. Lo sakadaitoch. The Kotoni Seifa. V'chein hoya Rabbi Eliezer poisel b'chol hakarbonas kulan. Rabbi Eliezer apostles not only the purchase of a paraduma from the Gentiles, but all animals sought out for sacrificial purposes, he does not allow them when purchased from Goyim. the Isakadaita Kidatoni Shilo, if you would think that the explanation of Rabbi Lezer is based on Shilo's teaching, so Bishlama Para Ksifa Kicha, I can say that pshat, that explanation for Para, because the word Kicha appears there, Kicha being interpreted as having to be related to who the dictating who the seller must be. Ella Kulu Korbanos Kicha Ksiba Hu. But by all other Korbanos, does the word kicha appear that would have told me that the seller must be Jewish? No, we don't have such a thing. So at this point, we have, if we just trace back our steps, we have a triangle with the point facing up, indicating like Rebbe Pedas. In other words, to suggest the Hesber for Rebbe Lezer, based on the kicha issue, that is insufficient, because that does not help me understand his din with regard to all other korbanos. But if I go with Rabbi Pedas's approach, I can understand his reaction or his position with regard to all their korbanos because of the chashash of immorality. Mora tries to reject this. V'dilma ad kan lo pligi rabbana leiter v'liezer elo befora v'dameha yikorin. It could be that the whole machlokis Rabbana Rabbi Lezer is only by Paraduma, and only there would the Rabbanan allow the purchase from a goy, because it's very expensive, and that would serve as the deterrent for any foul play. But with regard to all other korbanos, the Rabbanan would agree that you cannot buy from the goyim. Well, if that be the case, so then we would not be learning like Rebbe Pedas, who introduced the idea that there's an across-the-board chashash of revia. However, the Gemara comes back, and you can see with the use of the triangles, we're now going to come back to defend Rebbe Pedas' approach. Don't forget, Rebbe Pedas spoke about the issue of korbanos across the boards, that Rebbe Lezer forbids purchasing from goyim because of the chashash revia. Well, the Gemara says, if you're going to limit their machlokas to Pora Aduma, and with regard to all other korbanos, everyone is in agreement you're not allowed to buy, then the question arises, V'ela ha desanya loikhin mehem behema le korban, the very source that we're trying to resolve will then be left without any author money. Who would the author of this source, which was found at the top of Chof Beis Amid Beis, lo Rebbe Eliezer v'lo Rabbanan? This source, the source just quoted, which allows the purchase from Gentiles, would not conform to Rebbe Eliezer nor the Rabbanan. So as a result of having a source unauthored, we can't leave it like that. Therefore, we have to say that the Rabbanan's allowance of purchasing the Pora Aduma from Gentiles is not limited to the Pora Aduma, but it includes all other animals as well, hence supporting Rebbe Pedas's approach. The Oid Tanya Behedya. We have another teaching that is explicit, that by other korbanos, the Rabbanan are allowing purchase from goyim as well. In other words, in addition to the Pora Aduma, by all other korbanos as well, they're matir. And how do we know that? Because we have the following record. Mai osivu lei chavroi l'Rebbe Eliezer. What did the colleagues of Rebbe Eliezer, in other words, Rebbe Eliezer, we know, was assuring the purchase from Gentiles. So what did those who disagree with Rebbe Eliezer say back to him? They said, they quoted a pasuk, Kol tzon kedar yikbitsu loch yalu al rotzon mizbechi. Kedar is a reference to the Yishmael region, which is Yishmael. The tzon kedar means the tzon, the flocks of Yishmael. The flocks of Yishmael. Yishmael are the Ishmaelians. They're non-Jews. So we see the flocks of the non-Jews will be offered as korbanos. So it's not a halacha that's limited to Pora Aduma, but it goes across the boards to all korbanos. And Rashi has a nice little addition here, where we have an asterisk in the Rashi. You'll notice first narrow line, V'shapir itartson rumion deliel. And with this, we can conclude that the resolution offered in the number three position, namely Rebbe Pedos's resolution, is a good resolution, which basically says the Mishnah that forbids entrusting the animals to the goyim, that is true, and because of the chashash revia, and that is according to Rebbe Eliezer. The source that allows the purchase of animals for korbanos from goyim, that is according to the Rabbanan, that are not choshesh for revia. As you can see with our markings, we have a slash in the Gemara, and this slash is based on Rashi's observation that the continuation of the Gemara is called Milso Ba'api Nafshe. It is a separate discussion. It's not a flow of that which came just before it. The Gemara goes on with a new topic. Before we go on in the Gemara itself, let's take advantage of our topic heading, the Nosei. This is found on the outside margin of our Shas Ozer. Lama Revia Poselis Bepora. The question that is raised here is, why is it, what's the source for saying that intimacy conducted with a Pora Aduma renders it unfit? We'll be using a house marking as a method of following the flow of Gemara, with the roof pointing up. This will indicate that the Pora Aduma is classified as Kodshe Mizbeach. That means that even though, technically speaking, it's not an actual korban that's offered in the Azorah, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, the Pora Aduma was slaughtered on the Mount of Olives, opposite the Beis HaMikdash. However, there is an attempt, we will say, to classify the Pora Aduma as having the status of Kodshe Mizbeach, something that is Mizbeach designed. And if that be the case, so then we will be able to understand very easily why immorality with such an animal rendered unfit. As we mentioned previously, the animals fit for korbanos have to pass a certain standard of perfection, of excellence, whether it be physical or its background concerning its being involved with immorality. We're also going to notice a triangle that appears with the tip facing down, and that we've indicated under our explanation in the outside margin. Li'olam kodshe berek habayis. At that point in the Gemara, when we get to it, the Gemara will say it's not classified as kodshe mizbeach, but rather it's classified as kodshe berek habayis, a different classification of sanctity. This refers to the realm of items sanctified for the temple repair fund. In other words, the value of that which is sanctified will eventually go to the temple repair fund. Umikol makom, and even though it's classified as kodshe berek habayis, for some reason, revia poiselis, immorality will still have the effect. Even though it's not a kodshe mizbeach, even though it doesn't have the kodshe mizbeach status. Everything we said is by way of introduction. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Ad kan lo pligi elo b'chashosha. Up till this point, the machlokes between Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim was regarding an issue of suspicion, where we saw Rebbe Elazar is suspicious, and the Rabbanan are not. Aval hecho de vaday rova. However, if we know as a fact that the Pora Aduma was used in immorality, posla, the intimacy renders it unfit to serve as a Pora Aduma. Shma mina, with this we conclude, the Pora Kodshe Mizbeachi, that the Pora Aduma has a classification of Kodshe Mizbeach. As we said earlier, even though it, technically speaking, it's not offered as a sacrifice in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless, this represents a certain legal classification, Kodshe Mizbeach. D'i Kodshe Berek Habayis mi Mifsala Ba Raviyah. Had it been classified as something else, as a different form of sanctity, namely Kodshe Berek Habayis status, then would intimacy have postled it? That's rhetorical. No, intimacy wouldn't render something unfit for that type of sanctity. The Gemara rejects the attempted conclusion that Parah is Kodshei Mizbeach, but rather, the Gemara says, in general, it is classified as Kodshei Berek Habayis. The question then is, if that were the case, so why does intimacy render it unfit? Shiny Parah, Parah is different in that even though it's Kodshei Berek Habayis, intimacy passes it, the Chatas Karya Rachmana. The Torah, when talking about a Parah Aduma, the Torah uses the expression Chatas. Chatos is the name of a korban. So since the Parah Aduma is called by name a chatos, sometimes we refer to it as a poras chatos, that causes it to be subject to rejection through immorality. The Gemara now has a question. You'll notice there's a long question marking. It appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. You see a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. All of these next lines of Gemara are dedicated to the question. The Gemara asks, Ela me'ata, if it be so, that it's called chatos, and hence gets this higher standard applying to it, tiposel b'yotzei d'ofen. The Parah Aduma should be considered unfit as a Parah Aduma if it's born through a cesarean section, through a C-section. The chitema hochinami, and if you try to tell me, yeah, that's right, that if a Parah is born through a C-section, it is unfit, that's not true. Alomatanya, why then do we have the following teaching? Hikdisha, a Parah Aduma was sanctified, b'yotze d'ofen, psula, Rabbi Shimon, machshir. What we want to do for our purposes is emphasize Rabbi Shimon's approach. Rabbi Shimon says that a Parah Aduma delivered through a C-section is okay. V'chitema Rabbi Shimon l'tameh, and if you try to say that Rabbi Shimon is here consistent with his general shita, the Omar Yotze Doifen equals Vlad Ma'al Yehu, that a C-section is legally, halachically considered a full-fledged birth, with all the halachic ramifications of that, which we're not going to cite just this second. If that's what you think that Rabbi Shimon's approach is that he is saying it's kosher because a C-section in general is called a full-fledged birth according to Rabbi Shimon. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan has told us Moida Hoya Rabbi Shimon Inyan Kodshim She'eno Kodosh, that Rabbi Shimon himself, even though he has this very positive view towards C-section births, he says not so in the realm of Kodshim. That in the realm of Kodshim, it is not it's not fit as a sacrifice. Therefore, we cannot say right now that the Parah is treated with a special standard because it is called Chatos. We tried to say that in order to explain why immorality renders it unfit. But if you go with that approach, then why is it not? Why does Rabbi Shimon accept it if it's born through a C-section? At this point, then, we have to offer a new explanation for the Parah Aduma. Why does immorality render it unfit? Ela shiny Parah. We also want to note that we have a long point that is beginning here, and it is indicated by the long Nikuda meaning a point, abbreviated by the Nun that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. The next, the following lines that are opposite this nun with the vertical dashed line, all of these lines are to develop the point. Ela shiny para, hoyel umum poisel ba, devar erva vevodozora nami poisel ba. The reason that revia, that immorality, renders the Parah Aduma unfit is because the Parah Aduma is something that is subject to being ruled out, being rendered unacceptable through a mum, through a blemish. so that where a blemish renders something unfit, there's sort of a package deal. Blemishes and immorality and idolatry, those are things that can postulate. We might parenthetically note, but not a C-section. A C-section birth wouldn't possible necessarily, and hence Rabbi Shimon can tell you that even though the Por Aduma is rendered unfit through immorality, if it's born through a C-section, it's okay. Why the difference? Well, because immorality is part of a what we call package deal. Things that are rendered unfit by mum, immorality and idolatry rendered unfit. But C-section isn't part of that package. Hence, C-section would still be kosher. Let's now see this inside the Gemara. Eloshaini pora hoyul umum poisovo. We're reading this again. Since a mum is a blemish, renders it unfit. Devar erva vavidazora nami poisobo. Immorality and idolatry also render it unfit. Dichtiv. The posuk says, ki moshchosam bohem mum bom. So you see the word mum in this posuk, and you also see the word moshchosam. The Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. The Shiva of Rabbi Shmuel presents the following Tanaic source. Kol mokom shenemar hashchosa, wherever you see the word hashchosa, in our posuk that was just cited, we see the word moshchosam. Where you see the word hashchosa, eino elo devar erva vavedazara, that word is a reference to one of these two things, immorality or idolatry. And the proof is as follows. Devar erva dechtiv. Ki hishchis kol basor ez darko al haaretz. So you see, this is in the context of the Dor HaMavol, and the generation of the flood. They were subject to annihilation because they were an immoral generation. And the word hishchis appears. V'avodah zarah v'chtiv. As far as idolatry is concerned, the pasuk says, pen tashchisun v'asisem luchem pesel. Pesel is an idol. And you see in the same pasuk the word tashchisun, indicating that the word hashchosa is a reference to idolatry. The ha pora, nami the pora as well, hoyol umum poisel bo, since it is subject to being rendered unfit through blemish, devar erva vavidus kechavim pasli bo. Those two elements also postulate, and we are here to emphasize devar erva, because that's what the initial question was. Namely, how do you know what's the source for saying that a poraduma that was knowingly used in immorality is unfit? Above, we made a reference to Shiloh's teaching. This was found on Omid Aleph when Rebbe Pedos was introducing his resolution. So there was a quote of the Toni Shiloh. With our markings, you can spot this by using the arrows that appear to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. The arrow here indicates Amud Aleph, and you can scan back on Amud Aleph and find a parallel arrow also on the right-hand side, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you'll see this at the lower part of Amud Aleph. Here, the Gemara turns its attention and focuses on the source. Before we go further, let us glance at our topic heading that appears in the outside margin. The Nosei, Toni Shiloh. Ta'am Shereb Elezer Omer Poro Eino Nikris Me'agoyim. The Toni Shiloh source offers the basis of Rabbi Eliezer's restriction of buying a poraduma from the Goyim. The pasuk Daber El Bnei Yisrael Vikru. Bnei Yisrael Yakihu. The Jews shall be the cause of its purchase. In other words, a Jew must be the seller of the poraduma. Veino akum yakichu, and as opposed to Gentiles, they cannot be the medium through which one purchases the poraduma. The Gemara will then ask questions on this teaching. They are represented by diamonds that will appear later in the Gemara, and that's also indicated under the Mivneh heading, the structural note. And we have a diamond featured, and we also indicate Kushios al Toni Shiloh, questions on his teaching. Gufo. The Gemara now focuses on Toni Shilo. My taimo de Rebbe Eliezer. Why is it that Rebbe Eliezer says one cannot buy a poraduma from Goyim? Dichtiv, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'ikhu. That's the pasuk in the context of the poraduma in Parshas Chatas, Parshas Chukas in Sefer Bamidbar. B'nei Yisrael yakichu v'ein ha'ovdei kechovim yakichu. That means that Jews must be responsible for its sale and not idol worshippers. The Gemara now embarks on a long question, and this will take us to the top part of Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. Elo me'ato, daber el ben Israel, vikhu li truma. Hochi nami, de b'nei Israel, yakichu ve'in ho'ivde kechovim yakichu. There is a pasuk, and we might refer to this pasuk more than once. We've included the pasuk, we've written it into the top of Daf Chof Daled, Shmois Perek Chof Hei, the very beginning of Parshas Truma. The psukim appear as follows. We're going to first read the psukim just to get into the sound of it, and it's written in the top of Chof Daled Amud Aleph, on the outside margin. Daber el b'nei Yisrael. V'chuli truma, v'chule, with some other words there. V'zois ha-truma asher tikhu me'itam. Zohav v'chesef v'nechoshes v'scheles v'argomon v'slashoni v'oyros eilim odomim. Up till this point, all of the items that were mentioned, you can see, were introduced by a letter vav. In other words, the item was preceded by a vav. Like the last one, v'tolas shoni. Now, v'oyros eilim odomim. Now it says Avnei Shoyham, the Avnei Miluim Lo Efoid V'Lachoshen. The end of the pasuk that we're dealing with refers to stones that were used as part of the high priest raiment. The Gemara that we are studying right now at the bottom of Chav Gimel Amud Beis mentioned that since the pasuk says Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu, that indicates Jews must be involved in the sale. If that be the case, the Gemara now asks, Elo me'ata. We're focusing on the diamond, which is introduces this question. There will be more questions on Tani Shilo as the Gemara continues on to Chof Dalet and Amud Aleph. But if this be the case, like he said, what about the following? Daber el b'nei Yisrael, v'yikhu li truma, and then there's etc. there, and we've written it in above, zohav v'chesef, etc. Likras binyan hamishkan, that's what we've written in between the lines, the pasuk that refers to the acquisition of all the materials needed for the construction of the mishkan. Hachinami de b'nei Yisrael, yakichu v'eino ivdikom v'im yakichu. Are you going to say that the Jew must be responsible for its purchase, for the sale of the item, and goyim and idol worshippers cannot sell them those items? The chitema hachinami. And if you say that's right, that as far as the materials needed for the construction of the mishkan, only a Jew is the one allowed to sell to the for the mishkan purposes. That's not true. V'ha'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. It was he once taught the following. This is a very well known topic. The issue of honoring one's father and mother, and how far does one have to go in order to fulfill that mitzvah? The source of kibud av v'em performance of that mitzvah is learned from an idol worshipper. And the story is presented here briefly. Shalu es Rebbe Lezer ad heichon kibud av v'em. Rebbe Elazar was once asked, how far does one have to go in this mitzvah? Omar Lahem, Rebbe Elazar answered, Tzu'u uru ma osa oivei kechavim echad le'aviv be'ashkelein v'doma ben nesina shmo. Go see the practice or the behavior of a certain idol worshipper in the city of Ashkelon, how he treated his father. The oivei kechavim's name is Doma ben nesina. Pamachas bikshu mimenu avonim lo'efod b'shishim ribo schar. First version, we call this Aleph, and this is where it's the top of Chof Dalet Aleph. He says the value of the avone ephod, the stones for the Kohen Gadol's garments, were 60 rebo. A rebo is 10,000. So it's 60 times 10,000 of that unit of money. For Rav Kahana Masni, he has a different version. He says b'shmoinim rebo. And the keys that led to the storeroom where these stones were they stored or guarded these stones, were the keys to that storeroom were under Doma ben Asino's father's head. In other words, if his name is Doma and his name Ben Nesino, we could say it was under Nesino's head, and Velotziaro, and he did not trouble his father to, you know, by waking him up to get the keys. Well, though this particular story is featured in Maseches Kiddushin, where the sugya focuses on Kibbutz Av V'Em, for our purposes, though, we are focusing on the fact that the story involves an Oyvei Kohanim, an idol worshiper, and they were going to seek from him the stones that are part of the Kohen Gadol's raiment. And when dealing with the this particular item, it appeared in a pasuk that said, "Daber el." It said, "Daber el ben Israel v'yikhu li truma." So we see that the El B'nai Yisrael V'yichu does not restrict the item to being sold by a Jew alone, because in this incident we saw that one of the items in that very pasuk was going to be acquired from a non-Jew. With this, we are presenting a question, but since we are at the top of the new Amid, we will have to say that with this we conclude our shiur for today.